It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. We are rolling along in this week's Ross Tucker Media Podcast over at rostucker.com, including on today's Fantasy Feast episode 150, Evan. Can you believe it?
Unbelievable. I did not realize. 150?
Yes. 150 Fantasy Feast podcast. Absolutely unbelievable. We are continuing to give out redraft league and MFL entries each and every week, including a couple new feast contestants, Dylan Enderline and Will Powell. Congratulations. You guys are in the Feast Redraft League. Remember, all you have to do is send me any sponsor confirmation, and you got a great chance, especially if you try to get into our MFL league. And you guys are still slacking on these free MFL entries. I don't know what the deal is, but email me a sponsor confirmation if you want in one of these MFL entries, and it's free money. It's unbelievable. Speaking of free money, talking with Evan and getting his tiers for wide receivers is free money as well. Let's do it.
Next meal.
No. Brian, we need the song. Yes.
Will I win my league if I'm following ever? Am I drafting Zeke if I'm following ever? I'm at the turn, two picks to burn, but I know I won't go wrong with tears of Evan.
Yes, Scott Sheriff, we love it. That's why you got one of those MFL entries last week. Congratulations. Great, great stuff. Did I mention, by the way, I got a million things going on, but this Fantasy Feast 150, just like last week 149, is presented by the dudes at fanvice.com. They absolutely rock. Basically, it's your one-stop shop for anything DFS that you need. Tools, articles, live streaming, video casts. It's awesome. Make sure you're following them on Twitter at FanviceDFS. And check out the site itself, fanvice.com. Evan, let's dive into it, starting with tier one, first round wide receivers. And man, it's clear what this position's about this year and how you're feeling, because you've got a bunch of them. Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, AJ Green, DeAndre Hopkins, Dez Bryant, Allen Robinson, Keenan Allen, Alshon Jeffrey, and Brandon Marshall, all in your top round, first round picks, top 12 picks. Pretty interesting. You are high on wide receivers, obviously, and basically almost the whole first round should be receivers in your mind.
Pretty much, and I am doing these rankings for points per reception leagues. We did the running backs for non-PPR and had some complaints, so we're kind of splitting the difference here. But I really wouldn't adjust it a whole lot. And we could split this group into smaller tiers. You know, I think that Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham. You could argue that they're in a sort of mini tier unto themselves. But ultimately, I looked at these guys, and I thought that all these guys have a chance to finish as top five fantasy wide receivers. Brandon Marshall, even at the end of the tier, he has finished as a top five fantasy wide receiver in three of his last four seasons. And the only season where he didn't, he was hurt a bunch in that year. He's 33 years old, and the schedule is tougher for the Jets this year. He's going to face some difficult cornerbacks, but he's still an awesome player. And in that four wide spread, they get him good matchups. They can run him in the slot, you know? So I really like Brandon Marshall. I think Marshall is actually a little bit underrated this year. I think a lot of people are worried about Alshon's injuries, and I understand that. Keep in mind that he played two full 16-game seasons in a row before last year. This is my first tier of wide receivers, and I think that they're all in the mix as first-round picks, whether you play in PPR or non-PPR. Doesn't matter. These guys are high-floor, high-upside fantasy selections.
And even though you don't think Robinson will have that many touchdowns again, you still think he's tier one all the way?
Yeah, because I think that he's a player who's getting better. You know, I think his receptions can move forward. He only had 80 last year. I think that he will be a guy who scores 8 to 12 touchdowns pretty much every season. You know, he's got a 42-inch vertical. He's a big body dude. I mean, his combine weigh-in, I think, was like 221. He's got long arms. I think that he's a natural born touchdown scorer. As a 19-year-old at Penn State, he had 11 touchdowns in the Big Ten. So although I don't think he's going to score 14 again, you know, I think he could catch 90 balls, and especially in a PPR league, that could make up for a lot.
Tier two, wide receivers that have a chance to finish in the top 12. As wide receiver ones, if you will. T.Y. Hilton, Brandon Cooks, Mike Evans, Jordy Nelson, Sammy Watkins, Golden Tate, and Randall Cobb. So you've got two Packers, and you've got Golden Tate, even though there's some talk that Marvin Jones might be the number one receiver in Detroit, and you've got Sammy Watkins, even with the injury history.
Yeah, not buying the stuff about Marvin Jones being the Lions' number one. Not even buying it for a second. I mean, I think there are some people who have been on Marvin Jones, and they love to hear that, and I understand that. And I mean, I like Marvin Jones fine. You know, I've been drafting him a good amount. Like when he goes 7th, 8th round in NFL 10s, I think he's a good pick there. The basis for that article and for these opinions from the beat writers was that they were playing a joint practice scrimmage against the Steelers, and Matthew Stafford targeted Marvin Jones a lot. You know, Marvin Jones is a free agent addition. It should be expected that they're going to try to kind of force balls to him. You know, they want to build some rapport with the new receiver. When push comes to shove, I think the ball is going to be going to Golden Tate. I think that he has always been a better player than Marvin Jones has. I think Marvin Jones is a solid NFL number two receiver, maybe toward the lower end of NFL number two receivers. And I think that Golden Tate is a borderline number one wide receiver who we've seen produce in the NFL as a number one wide receiver. When Calvin Johnson has missed time or been a decoy, Golden Tate has stepped up and produced as a legitimate number one wide receiver in the NFL. This dude had over 1,300 yards a couple seasons ago. He is still in his prime, Golden Tate, and he can win all over the field. He can win in the slot. He can win out at X receiver. And, I mean, I really think there's no doubt that Golden Tate is better than Marvin Jones, And I'm very, very confident in Marvin Jones. And I'm sorry, in Golden Tate this season. I think that you can make an argument that Marvin Jones is a better value because he goes, you know, seventh, eighth round. And hey, if dude scores 8-9 touchdowns, he's going to crush his ADP. Whereas Golden Tate has to do a lot more as a third or fourth round pick to crush his ADP. So I think that you can make an, you know, it's kind of like the Matt Forte, Bilal Powell situation a little bit. You know, it's going to be easier for Marvin Jones to crush his ADP, but Golden Tate is a better player than the other guy, and that's why he goes earlier in drafts.
In terms of the next tier, Evan, you've classified it as strong wide receiver two picks. Jeremy Maclin, Jarvis Landry, Demaryius Thomas, Amari Cooper, Dante Moncrief, and Eric Decker. I guess the one that jumps out to me there is Demaryius Thomas, you know, being this low. And I know how last year ended and everything. It's just still interesting to see him as your wide receiver 20.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I think that ultimately if you land one of these guys as your wide receiver 2, you're in good shape. You know, ideally you would get two wide receiver ones, especially in a PPR league. And I really think that goes across the board, even in non-PPR leagues, because wide receivers are starting to score more touchdowns than running backs. And, you know, they give you a higher ceiling on a week-to-week basis. But these are solid wide receiver two picks. And with Demaryius Thomas, I worry that he's in decline. I mean, his efficiency metrics are bad. His catch rate is bad. You know, over the past two seasons, like the arrow is starting to point down on him. He's going to be 29 years old. The quarterback situation is god awful. And, you know, people say, well, the quarterback situation was bad last year too. But Demaryius was actually good when Peyton Manning was in there. I mean, Peyton Manning could still throw the bubble screen as well as anyone. And I think that the overall passing volume is going to drop. They're not going to be playing shotgun like they were last year. You know, they're going to have, man, the quarterback situation is horrible for these wide receivers in Denver. And I think that Emmanuel Sanders is a better wide receiver right now at this stage of their careers than Demaryius Thomas is.
I think that's the only one that really jumps out to me. I get Maclin, Landry, Cooper. There's a lot of Moncrief love. You have Decker here. Tier four is guys that have a chance to finish as wide receiver twos. Doug Baldwin, Julian Edelman, Michael Floyd, Jordan Matthews, John Brown, Larry Fitzgerald, Kelvin Benjamin, Devontae Parker, and Emmanuel Sanders. Again, I guess much like with Allen Robinson, you're just not believing that Baldwin's going to be able to score close to that many touchdowns again.
Right, and I think he will be useful in fantasy this year. But ultimately, this team is not going to throw the ball very often again. I mean, they have a great defense. They have a super efficient quarterback who actually, you know, the efficiency of their quarterback actually works against their passing volume because they're going to be in run friendly game scripts. And, you know, I think that Doug Baldwin will be a useful fantasy wideout, but he's not going to have games where he gets 10 targets. He's not going to have many of those games. And I mean, I think you can make an argument that Tyler Lockett is a better talent than Doug Baldwin. And, you know, just not a guy that I'm trying to aggressively draft right now. Whereas, you know, I see him go in the fourth round a lot, and I have a tough time pulling the trigger on Doug Baldwin as a fourth round fantasy pick.
How about Kelvin Benjamin in that and Devontae Parker? I mean, it's just interesting for you to have Devontae Parker in the same tier as a lot of these other guys.
Yeah, well, I think that Devontae Parker is a potentially special talent. I mean, his, when he took over as the Dolphins' starting perimeter boundary receiver, you know, adjacent to Jarvis Landry last year, he was pretty damn good. You know, his pace stats were well over 1,000 yards, 8-9 touchdowns. He's a super long-limbed, like gliding sort of perimeter wide receiver. There are some reasons for caution. He has not really shown the ability to sustain health for an extended stretch. He's been hurt some in camp, but I think he's a guy who could hit big. I think, you know, his situation reminds me a little bit of Allen Robinson last year. I don't know if he's going to be quite as good, not quite as good, I think, as Allen Robinson. I don't know if he has that kind of a ceiling, but I think that the situation could be similar in terms of a potential breakout for Devontae Parker. You know, can they get the ball outside the numbers, though? I mean, that's a question. With Kelvin Benjamin, people are so down on him right now that I've started to see him slip. I mean, he was a third-round pick for a long time this offseason in MFL 10s, and I've started to see him go like mid, late fifth round. And that's, you know, we're starting to get to the point where people are not accounting for his touchdown upside, because dudes could easily score 10 touchdowns. I mean, he could score 13 touchdowns. You know, he's that type of a player. I think that he's not going to get nearly the volume that he saw as a rookie, when, you know, a lot of factors were working in his favor. That, you know, there wasn't Devin Funchess there. The Panthers were a mediocre to below average team that was playing from behind a ton that season, and Kelvin Benjamin racked up a bunch of stats in garbage time. But he's also a guy that is like put on this earth to score touchdowns. And when he starts to slip to the fifth round, like, I'm going to take him, because I like guys who score touchdowns on my fantasy roster, especially when I can get them as my third wide receiver.
Taking a look at your next tier, Evan, it is wide receiver 3 picks with upside. The aforementioned Tyler Lockett, DeSean Jackson, Marvin Jones, Josh Gordon, Michael Crabtree, and Kamar Aiken. Interesting. This is the most interesting tier that you have in my mind going through it. You know, guys like Lockett and Jones and DeSean Jackson with guys like Josh Gordon. Really interesting.
Yeah, it's like starting in the late fifth to early sixth round through about the eighth round. It's kind of thin on wide receivers, I think. But, you know, obviously besides these guys, but in that range of the draft, I don't know. Is there anybody that really stands out? I mean, I guess we could talk about Josh Gordon. You know, I feel like I'm a little bit less aggressive than other people on him. Like, I saw him go at 6.01 in a recent draft that I did. And, you know, that was aggressive to me for a guy who really, the last time we saw him play, Ross, he wasn't very good. He was not very good in 2014, and in 2015, I mean, he was very disappointing. For that was the year that people were drafting him and literally holding on to him for 10 weeks, and then he came back and like he didn't even help you win in fantasy, and he burned a roster spot that entire time, you know. But people just thought he was so special. One thing you got to remember about his 2013 season, the Browns that year led the NFL in pass attempts. So he saw a ton of volume. And now in Cleveland, they have a team that under Hugh Jackson is going to want to run the ball. They have a ton of other pass catchers. Corey Coleman, I think, has a chance to be special. Gary Barnage was a top three fantasy tight end last year. Duke Johnson should command targets. So it's not like it was in 2013. And the last time we saw Josh Gordon play, he wasn't very good. And he didn't play at all last year, and his body's still adjusting. He shows up overweight. He suffers this quadriceps strain right when he tries to jump back into practice. And, you know, he's not a guy that I'm looking to draft aggressively. I understand, like, people want difference makers on their roster. I absolutely do, too. But my level of confidence that Josh Gordon is going to be a difference maker this season is not particularly high, and that's why I have him ranked pretty conservatively.
Tier 6, fringe wide receiver 3s, flex options, Tavon Austin, Kevin White, Allen Hurns, Torrey Smith, Corey Coleman, Willie Snead, Sterling Shepard, Stephon Diggs, Devin Funchess. I guess guys like Shepard and Corey Coleman and Kevin White probably go in the same category. Allen Hurns. It seems interesting for Allen Hurns, with as proven production as he was last year, to be in the same category with these other guys.
Yeah, well, he caught 64 balls and he scored 10 touchdowns. So that is really, really going to be difficult for Allen Hurns to repeat, obviously. And my concern is that he catches fewer balls this year. Where, you know, like, I sort of see the situation as Allen Robinson ascends a little bit. The passing volume for the team moves down a little bit. And, you know, the touchdowns just aren't going to be there for Allen Hurns, especially with Julius Thomas coming back. You know, that's a concern for Allen Robinson, too, because Julius Thomas is a touchdown scorer. But with Allen Hurns, like, I could see, you know, very conceivable where he has a season where he, you know, scores maybe 5 or 6 touchdowns and he catches 60 balls. And that is not going to help you in fantasy football. I mean, that will land you on the waiver wire in fantasy football, you know, within the first month of the season, that sort of a pace. So Allen Hurns is a guy that I'm pretty much avoiding in fantasy drafts. And I still see him go 5th, 6th, 7th round, but, and he was a great, great value last year, no doubt. I think that with the arrow kind of pointing up still on Allen Robinson, arrow kind of pointing up for Julius Thomas, and the arrow pointing down on the Jaguars passing volume, I think Allen Hurns is going to have a disappointing fantasy season. Good real life player. I think he'll be a disappointment in fantasy.
Tier 7, wide receiver 4-5 picks, depth for your roster, Marcus Wheaton, Mohamed Sanu, Vincent Jackson, Philip Dorsett, Travis Benjamin, Sammy Coates, Michael Thomas, Bruce Ellington, Mike Wallace, Laquan Treadwell, Terrence Williams, Rashard Matthews. And it seems like there's a decent amount of love out there these days for Sammy Coates and Michael Thomas and Bruce Ellington. Those are the three guys that probably getting the most love out of this group.
Yeah, totally, man. You know, we've been talking about Bruce Ellington for a long time, and I definitely like him. His price is still super, super cheap. He could catch a ton of balls. Torrey Smith has never really been a guy that has caught a ton of balls. You know, on the tight end show, we talked about how we don't even know who their tight ends are going to be. Carlos Hyde has never caught balls dating back to Ohio State. So who's going to catch the balls? And Bruce Ellington is in a great position to catch a ton of balls this year. So I'm buying the hype, especially at his low cost. I have not seen him creep anywhere toward the earliest I still see him go is like the 13th round of a draft. And if he sucks, like, you can drop him if he's a 13th round pick, you know, in a season long draft. So I'm still gobbling up Bruce Ellington where I can. Sammy Coates is really, really interesting because I think by all accounts, like the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, you know, the Pittsburgh Post Gazette, Todd Haley himself, all these mouths talking up Sammy Coates. So Sammy Coates is kind of built like Torrey Smith, but he showed really inconsistent ball skills at Auburn. You know, didn't really know how to track the ball well in the air, didn't catch the ball naturally. A lot of those were knocks on Martavis Bryant coming out, though. And we, like, if Martavis or Sammy Coates as a specimen is like an absolute animal, man. I mean, he's 6'1", like almost 220 pounds. He runs 4.43. I liked him as a run after catch receiver a lot at Auburn, and less as a deep threat because I didn't think he tracked the ball particularly well, and I didn't think he caught the ball particularly well over his shoulder. But I, you know, it's hard to ignore this buzz right now on Sammy Coates, and I think that he's a guy who deserves to start to go in the 11th, 12th, maybe 10th round. And he still usually goes 12th, 13th, 14th.
Finally, you've got the others, like the show Lost, the others, Steve Smith Sr., DGB, Bolden, LaFell, Josh Doxson, Will Fuller, Ted Ginn, Kendall Wright, Stevie Johnson, Pierre Garçon, Nelson Aguilar, Victor Cruz, Tyler Boyd, Jermaine Kearse, Robert Woods, Chris Hogan, Brashad Perriman, Jamison Crowder, Chris Moore, Seth Roberts. The only two that jump out to me there really is, seems like the last couple of days hearing more and more positive buzz on Will Fuller and Tyler Boyd.
Yeah, and Tyler Boyd has a lot of opportunity, and he's a guy who has been a little bit polarizing, but he was super productive at Pitt, and he's got a lot of opportunity. And, I mean, he's definitely not a guy that I want to write off. Like, I think you could make an argument that his game is similar, maybe a step below from a guy like Keenan Allen. And, I mean, it looks like Eifert is not going to be available probably for 1, 2, maybe 3 games to start the season. And if Tyler Boyd can kind of establish a rapport with Andy Dalton early in the year, I mean, Tyler Boyd could be useful, you know. And then who was the other guy that you mentioned? I'm sorry.
Boyd and Will Fuller.
Yeah, Will Fuller. Oh, man, see, I love Will Fuller. I think he's underrated. I think that a lot of people like to focus on his drops, and I understand that. But, like, I think he's a special player, like, with the ability to become a special route runner. Like, I've never seen a college receiver create that much separation as Will Fuller. I mean, dude was just get wide open. And apparently he has been doing that at Texans camp, running with the ones, where the Texans have 3 damn good corners. Jonathan Joseph, Kareem Jackson is an established veteran in the league. You know, not a great corner, but and then the kid Kevin Johnson, who had an unbelievable game. I think it was on a Monday night against AJ Green last year. Kind of gave AJ Green some problems. So you know, against really good first team competition, Will Fuller already shining. I think he has the potential to be a special deep threat in the NFL, and I think that he's going to have some games this year where he'll catch like 4 for 110 and 2 touchdowns, or maybe, you know, 4 for 110 or a touchdown. Perfect MFL 10 pick, where you don't really know when the big games are going to come, but you have a good feeling that they are going to come at some point because of the way that this dude can get open.
Speaking of perfect, that's what I think about when I think about Audible. How about the ability to have a free 30-day trial and download your first audiobook for free? If you're like my wife and you've got a long commute to work, she listens to books on tape all the time. Plus, they've got original shows, news, comedy. If you're listening to podcasts, you understand the value of listening to what you want, when you want. So why wouldn't you go to audible.com/FF to get started? That's audible.com/FF. You get a free 30-day trial, and you can download your first audiobook for free. So why not download an audiobook for free? Seems like it makes perfect sense to me. Again, audible.com/FF for a free 30-day trial and audiobook from the folks over at Audible. We got an email today, actually, Bri.
Ever wanted to ask an NFL player a question? Well, here's your chance. It's time to Ask Ross.
You guys can always send us an email if you'd like. Just send it to me, ross@rostucker.com, with a sponsor confirmation, just like you do if you want one of those NFL entries, and just like you do if you want to get in the Fantasy Feast Redraft League. This comes to us from Mike in Philly, Evan, who used our Amazon banner ad to buy a new rain barrel. What's a new rain barrel, by the way?
Where you trap rain?
Are you joking?
I have no idea what a rain barrel is.
Brian, you know what a rain barrel is?
Yeah, Evan's right. He may have been joking or not knowing, but no, that's it. Being very water conscious, when the rain comes, save the water there, and then you can use it to water your lawn. So you're not having to use a sprinkler.
I mean, like, everybody should be using that, probably.
Of course.
Wow. I didn't even know such a thing existed. Interesting. All right.
You probably don't recycle either, Ross.
I recycle every Wednesday morning at 5 a.m., and we have a ton of boxes because my wife orders a ton of stuff using the Amazon banner ad at rostucker.com. I'm a recycling freak, but I didn't know about rain barrels. That's really interesting. Anyway, Mike and Philly's question is, I know that a player's bye week generally isn't a consideration during a fantasy draft, but while doing mock drafts this year, I noticed a lot of receivers I wanted have the same bye week. DeAndre Hopkins, A.J. Green, Alshon Jeffrey, all the wideouts on the Cardinals, as well as the Patriots and the Redskins, all on a bye week 9 this year. Would you avoid taking 2 or 3 of these guys at the start of the draft? Let's say you decide to draft Hopkins and Green at the start of the draft. How, if at all, would that affect your strategy in later rounds? If you weren't paying attention, you could conceivably draft an entire roster of wide receivers with the same bye week. At what point does that become a concern, Evan Silva?
So much stuff is going to change by week 9. You know, we think that we know, like, you know, I have confident opinions that I need to constantly be checking right now, because I really don't know what's going to happen this NFL season. You know, if I get over 50% of what I think is going to happen right, I think that would be a great year. So much stuff is going to change by week 9 that it's incredible. It's going to be, you know, by week 4, it's going to be an entirely new season. We're going to have revised a ton of dudes will have gotten hurt. We will have to revise our opinions on so many guys. And I really can't imagine worrying about week 9 buys. I know what he's talking about, though, because sometimes I'll look at it for MFL 10s where you're playing best ball and you're locked up. You're locked into these guys all season, and you are, you know, you can't go make waiver wire moves in week 9. But just so much stuff will have changed in a season-long league by week 9 that it's really tough to imagine, you know, starting to make decisions based on things that are going to happen several months down the road, when, you know, the skill positions are going to be depleted. And I don't know, it's just I would just not worry about it.
All right. I like it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Be happy. That'll do it for this week's Fantasy Feast Eaten podcast. As I said, we still have MFL entries we're giving out, including the MFL 100 next week. Who wants it? Send me your sponsor confirmation, ross@rostucker.com. We are presented, by the way, by fanvice.com. I mentioned that earlier in the show. It's really a cool website. I'm doing videos for them that you guys should check out. I think it's called Tucker's Trenches. It's been fun. I've done a couple already. That'll be up at FanVice every week all season long. You can follow FanVice on Twitter at FanVice DFS. They basically have everything you need for your daily fantasy advice. Other than that, I am stuffed. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
So I've been telling you guys about TrueCar for a while now because it's awesome. I mean, everything about the experience is top-notch. But what's really cool that a lot of people don't know is they do used cars as well. I mean, there's over 500,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. So you can get the same awesome experience connecting with a local certified dealer or using the TrueCar website, the TrueCar app, checking out the TrueCar pricing curve, which I love, which shows you the high end, the low end, and where most people are buying similar vehicles, all for pre-owned cars in addition to new cars. TrueCar users save an average of just about $3,300 off the MSRP, which is awesome. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, make sure you visit TrueCar.com or download the TrueCar app to enjoy a better car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.